There we go. Okay. It's actually working. Technology is working for us rather than against us at this point.
Good stuff.
I know. I'm excited. I can hear it in your voice that you're like bubbling with, you're bubbling with British giddiness. It's a beautiful thing. All right. Well, there we go. So we'll just have like one of our miscellaneous little conversations. I can chop it up a little bit inside like the editing stuff if we need to. But
you're going to hit me with some easy questions then?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I'm going to kind of float through this. I've been, this is actually probably a conversation a lot of people should hear. But, the whole info overload problem?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's absolutely hilarious because I was talking to – I do these live calls sometimes with like my subscribers and stuff because I keep getting – and I'm sure you have the same thing. It's like you keep getting the same questions over and over and over again. So you're fine. It's fine. I'll just answer them all. And without fail, everyone's like, what do I do with the info overload? And it's – when does it go away? When does it go away? I'm like, dude, it doesn't. It just changes form. It's like when you're brand new, and you probably will agree with me on this, when you're brand new, the info overload comes in the form of like, oh my God, there's so much information. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And then after you've done stuff like us where you're actually really doing it successfully, it gets to the point where you get these proposals and you get these different avenues that you could take. It's even worse because now you know how to make money with it. And you're like, oh my God, I'm leaving millions lying on the table. And it just, it's all over. It's just awful.
You can only do so much. There's only one of you and there's only 24 hours in a day. So mm-hmm. It's a question of how you spend your time and how you go about it. But yeah, quite agree with you. Information overloads, it's a skill. It's something to learn to maneuver.
Most definitely. I was actually I haven't started it yet, which is yet again another symptom of the overload. But I got into Eben Pagan's organizational stuff.
Right.
And if you looked at that 90-day thing, and it's always good stuff is always great. So I'm like, all right, I totally need to do this, and then I get swept under the truck by something else.
Yeah. One of the things I have learned to do, and maybe still. Even though I've learned to do it, I don't do enough of it. Is outsourcing because I want to keep control, but I should maybe outsource more than what I currently do.
Yeah, definitely. I have recently gotten into that, and it is absolutely uber spectacular. I got to tell you, the more you can do, the better. It really is. Oh my God! Yeah, wow. That's all I can say.
Get your life back.
Oh, totally, totally. And, and I understand what you're talking about with the whole control concept because, you want everything to, be the certain way because you've got the vision for the product, and the process and all these different kinds of things. But, at the end of the day, when you can have that group of people and those good people that you can outsource stuff to, it's a night and day difference. I mean, it really makes stuff cook. You can actually get more done then. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yep, that's cool.
Indeed. Like I started with the graphics, I just absolutely suck at graphics. And so finally I said, okay, fine, I'll go outsource all those graphics. And it was like somebody had given me an additional 5 hours in my day.
Yeah, I outsource every single bit of my graphics. And what I've started doing with some of the products is that I'll get people to do certain bits. And I give so much detail as to what I want it to be. I've practically written half of it myself, but all they're needing to do is sort of take my very, very detailed specs and sort of turn it into something polished and make it something that's publishable.
Indeed. Well, and that's actually a really important part of it. And I think that when it comes to the whole outsourcing concept, not that we had any intention of talking about this, but whatever we are, yep. But it is the clarity of the creator. And I have yet to really hear anybody drum this point home. You can't just outsource stuff. You can't just go to a group of people, no matter how good they are, and say, write me articles. Or make me a program or create an ebook or a how-to video. You really have to tell them almost down to what you were saying where it's like you almost have to create the product for them to then create the product.
Yeah. You train them. You train them and the next time, they know what you're looking for And you know, the more you use the same people, the better job you get.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you keep chopping and changing, going from one to the next to the next to the next, then, you know, you're killing yourself doing it that way. You've got to find good people and hang on to them.
Oh, exactly. Like, I do that with my designer and stuff like that. I mean, I have dumped thousands of dollars in the past couple of months just into his lap to be like, please don't go anywhere. No vacations. I don't want you seeing your mother. Just stay here if I need you. Oh, because, like, I try to, like, you know, I always dabble in different things. But, yeah, you're totally right. It's like you got to use those same people that you got to
find. Yeah, and you got to look after them. So, you know, keep them sweet, as they say.
Well, there you go. Exactly. Well, there's a little snippet, so anybody that listens to this is going to be like, oh, wow, outsourcing, cool. But yeah, that's the nitty-gritty behind it. But then what obviously we were going to talk about is the whole ClickBank Inner Circle product that you were launching, and I figured that you know, it's some pretty cool stuff. I took a look at it, and I like it, which is obviously why I pursued you like a rabid hyena. You know, to chat with me about the thing. But in your own words, talk a little bit about it. Let's get some of the meat.
All right. Well, I say that, you know, a lot of people see people being successful and they're thinking, what is it that they're doing differently that I'm not? And how come it that when they send out, you know, a promotion for a new product, that they can get lots and lots of big marketers backing them and endorsing their products? And when I try and do that, you know, I don't even get a response to my email. And what is it that I'm doing differently? And that was where I was probably 12 months ago when I brought out my first product in the internet marketing niche. I was thinking, how do I get these JV partners on board? And what I did was just realize that the way to go is to build relationships and make an impact, get yourself noticed. There's many, many different ways you can do this, but the ClickBank Inner Circle is what I use to describe a group of elite marketers that are happy to endorse each other's products and help each other out. And whenever anybody in that group brings out a new product, you'll get the others backing it. And it's no way, you know, people may think it's a closed door shop, but no way at all. You know, people can break into it. And, you know, I'm an example, a living example of somebody who's done just that. And you can get big marketers on board promoting your products time and time again. And, you know, the way to do it is really building a relationship and getting yourself noticed and having something of quality that they're going to want to promote, because they're not going to go around and promote rubbish. So, you know, there's so many different factors, and, you know, I'm sort of trying to get everything out in, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, what really is a massive course of, you know, something that somebody can learn. But, you know, I say it's massive, but you can get somewhere with it very quickly by shortcutting to the bits that you need to know. So I hope that sort of gives people an insight as to what ClickBank Inner Circle is all about.
Indeed. Well, you know, it's funny because what I've found is that, you know, and this might get a little woo-woo, I guess you could say, but almost everything that you do, from search engine optimization to pay-per-click to getting JV partners to doing any kind of even a rented email blast of any sort whatsoever, every single thing is exactly the same as the next. You have to provide, and this is the core element of everything, high-quality, relevant information based on what those other people need. That's it. That's it. That's the answer to everything right there. And it's like you can apply it exactly what you're talking about with, like, getting in front of these, you know, uber guru kids that seem to be, you know, almost untouchable. And it's pretty funny because it's actually a lot simpler. And all you need to do is provide high quality, relevant information based on what they need.
Yep. I mean, that's part of it. I'd also say that even if you've got maybe the best product in the world, they're not going to take notice of it over and above taking notice of you. And here's the subtle but important difference. is that when you're building relationships with people, when you're trying to, you know, get JV partners on board, people think, well, I've got to have, you know, super duper product. I've got to have fancy sales letter, fancy graphics. Yes, these are all important, but what is more important than all of them put together is you as a person, that you've got to make the connection and they've got to like you and want to do business with you. So it's all about selling yourself as a person, and they're happy to endorse you regardless of what you may have, you know, as your product. Because let me tell you, once you've built the relationship with these people, it's so much easier for you to then go back to them a second and third, fourth, fifth time and say, you know, I've got a new product coming out. You know, hope you're going to be on board for this. Here's the dates. Get it locked in your schedule. And, you know, yes, of course they're going to look at the product, but they're only looking at the product because they've already know it's come from you and you personally. Whereas if it comes from somebody they don't know, then, you know, their chances of looking at it are far, far smaller. So, you know, when you're building relationships, you've got to think about it's the connection between two people rather than, you know, trying to wow them with some fancy product or, you know, fancy sales letter.
Exactly. You always have to think about what's in it for them and, you know, how can you present yourself as a high quality source of relevant information, and do it in such a way that they take notice. I mean, it's you know, what is that? It's the same sales process over and over again. The attention, what is that? Interest, desire, attention, whatever the heck you call it, the ADA acronym kind of thing. Just in this particular sense, rather than going out and, you know, hitting a large audience, you're doing it on an individual basis.
Yeah,
it's like dating. Like, you want to pick up chicks in a bar, you could probably get JV partners with the same concepts, except I don't recommend wearing short skirts.
I mean, the other way to go is, like with a lot of things, that once you've had a little bit of a success, you'll find that the rest of the success comes that more easily, that more quickly. You can liken building JVs, you know, getting JV partners on board, to the same as list building. When you've got no list at all, it's very hard to actually start building that list initially. You know, you can use pay-per-click, you can use article marketing, Web 2.0, blah, 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 blah. But once you get it up to, say, 1,000, 2,000, you know, just, or, you know, even higher, but once you get to those that kind of level, you've now got an asset that you can start doing cross promotions with other marketers, ad swaps, and use that asset as leverage to really build that list. And you'll then find that, you know, even though you struggle to make that first 1,000 subscribers, that the second 1,000, the third 1,000 come far, far, far quicker. And I liken that to getting JV partners on board, that when you start off, nobody knows you. And, you know, when you approach people, why should they take any notice of you if they've never heard of you before? You know, we're all talking about information overload. We are, you know, top marketers, very, very busy, and they get bombarded all the time. So, you know, they've got no reason to listen to somebody they don't know. But once you get known, and once you get certain JV partners on board for your first product, you'll find that then starts opening the door to getting more and more people on board for your next product launch. Then your third product launch, you get more and more on board. And, you know, it just snowballs. And there's nothing better than having a personal recommendation from one marketer to another, saying, you know, hey, you know, Chris has got this great product, ClickBank Inner Circle, coming out. I did really well for him on his last products, you know, 3 months ago. I think you'd be interested in it too. And that kind of personal recommendation from one market to another carries far more weight than you trying to approach them directly. And that's, you know, one of the secrets I've had. You know, it's maybe not really a secret, but it's just something that's worked for me in terms of, you know, getting 500 JV partners on board, which I've had. So recommendations go a long, long way, like with anything in life.
Indeed. Yeah, no, it's a beautiful thing. And it's, you know, what you pointed out is very cool. It's like when you first get that, it's just a matter of you set your sights on that goal and you just keep pushing, and it's going to start small. Like, everybody came from somewhere, and that's something that I think a lot of those newbie folks or people who are struggling keep waiting for, you know, all of a sudden, like, one day they're going to wake up and have like 500,000 people on their list, and, you know, everybody's going to know, like, and trust them. I'm like, that doesn't work that way. You know, it's you first start with like 100 people, 200 people, and then it grows and grows and grows. And it's exactly what you said. Like, I had, you know, when I first got started, it was the biggest pain in my butt to get my first 2,000 people. But within a month, I turned 2,000 into 16,000. And it was like, you know, it just keeps growing from there, because it was exactly what you said. Once you have that little seed, that little – now you're a player.
It's an asset. Yeah. You,
exactly. Exactly.
Something you use to your advantage in order to – you know, it's something I talk about a lot in the course is getting leverage to take yourself to the next level. I see the inner circle as the way you approach it is that if you're starting at the bottom, that – you're going to interact with people maybe in around your own level, but you don't want to just be staying with the people at your own level. You ought to be trying to break into just the next level higher. And you get to know the people at the next level higher. And then, you know, after time, you then go up yet another level. And rather than trying to go to the big people directly, you know, it's a way to success. If you want to know another sort of way to get to know top people is get out into the real world and meet them. Go to seminars and they will be there. And my approach at a seminar is that I'm far more interested in what goes on in the breaks and in the evenings than the actual seminar during the day. You know, the people may be giving great content, but it's in, you know, sort of after hours where all the networking happens, and that is the time that you get to meet people and know people. And you know, I met one of my top JV partners. I met him at a seminar and kept that friendship going, and you know, he ended up then being on board for every product launch that I've done. And I don't think I ever would have got him on board if I hadn't actually met him, you know, face to face at a seminar.
Yeah, totally. That is definitely sound advice. And those seminars are like all over the place all the time. And the other thing is, you don't need, and this is a common misconception. When, you know, when people first start out, you know, obviously they want to go find those big names that are very easily recognizable in the marketplace. That's essentially like landing on the Oprah show, you know, the first time kind of thing. You can do just as well. Yeah, you know, and some folks, it doesn't even matter how cool they are or how good their stuff is, or, you know, how many times they, hi, I'm a nice guy, I'm a, you know, it's like pet my puppy kind of thing. Yeah, you know, sometimes you do better with like a bunch of mid-level dudes all pushing at once. That then rattles the cage of those big people, because nothing, honestly, the big people, those whole inner circle group, they didn't get to where they are by being morons and by being completely oblivious to what's going on in the marketplace. They got there because they're intelligent people and because they know what they're doing and they're paying attention to what's going on around them. And so when you start making those waves and kind of have your own little you know, group going, that will get noticed, and they can and usually do come to you in some way.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, I've had people coming to me last couple of launches, people that, you know, that I never have thought that that they actually, that if I tried to contact them, they would have, you know, even bothered to reply. But it's amazing how once you get to a certain level that the tables are turned and they start coming and knocking on your door, and because they take notice of you. And one of the other things I talk about in the course is that if you want to get noticed, there's nothing better than getting yourself into the top 10 of a particular JV contest. Because these contests, you know, typically the only people who see them are the JV partners involved in a particular product launch. And, you know, most ordinary people wouldn't get sort of any access to them. But if you get yourself involved in a particular product launch, signed up as a JV, you can get to see what's going on. But more importantly, the big marketers also, you know, take note of what's going on. And if they see that you're sort of, you know, making a lot of sales as an affiliate, they're thinking, well, you know, who's this guy? You know, let's go and find out more about him. And, I'm sure that's, I'm absolutely convinced that, you know, that's part of the reason I've had the success I've had, is just the ability to make sales as an affiliate. It's such a key skill, and that's why I've made a whole module of my Clickbank Inner Circle all about, you know, becoming the super affiliate. Because if you can't sell other people's products, then what's in it for them that they're going to want to sell your products? It's got to be two way.
Exactly. Yeah, that's totally that's a very good point. And that's usually one of the best ways to first start before you even, you know, approach anything. It's like, oh, by the way, you know, 2 months ago when you did that launch, yeah, remember me? Yeah, that's my little affiliate link there, right there, that one, that's me, yeah. You know, it's like, oh, wow, cool. And then, you know, they're more inclined to say something to you if you sold a bunch of their stuff, which, you know, there's we don't need to get into how to do that because there's 1.5 billion courses that will teach you how to do that. But yeah, that's totally a great way to go.
And I'd say, you know, go out of your way to, if there's a particular marketer that you're dead set on wanting to get on board for your product launch, which, you know, let's say your product launch is not going to be for another 3 months, so you've got time to warn them and get them that, you know, when you approach them, they can get it in their schedule, and you've got time to get all your product created and everything ready. At the very outset, if they are doing their own product launch, you as an affiliate are thinking, right, I'm going to make, you know, try and do everything in my power, everything that I can in order to make as many sales for them, because if I do, they're going to take notice of me. And it may be that, you know, as you said, there's, you know, 101 courses and talk about affiliate marketing, but some of the things that I talk about in my course is how you can, you know, do things which are maybe over and above the norm, that a lot of people may only send out one or two or maybe three email promotions when recommending somebody's products. Well, why not do four or five? You know, your list may be hurt a little bit in you thinking that you're over-promoting to them, but what that's going to do for you is make just an extra few sales just to push you up that ladder, and you know, that you're making a little sacrifice maybe in annoying a few people on your list in order to make those few sales extra to then get noticed by the big marketer. Because, you know... I've got to ask you a question, Johnny. I just turn the tables, if I may. That what would you regard as more valuable, your list or your relationship with your top JV partners?
Well, it's kind of a weird question. I think it's probably it's a good one too, and completely unexpected. I'll murder you in your sleep. Honestly. I'd have to say it would be the relationship with the big JVs, because the ratio of people you piss off to the amount of people you'll get on your list from having those big JVs promote you, it there's like no relationship. It's insane. It, you know, there's going to be like 5 to maybe 100 people that will say, oh, you are a complete and utter jackass, I'm unsubscribing. You probably didn't want them anyway. They probably haven't bought your stuff. So it's like, what do you care? Hey. Versus, you know, dudes with like 250, 300, 400,000 people. it's almost like not a contest.
Right answer. Right answer there, buddy. And what I'll add to that is that you may sort of piss off some of the people on your list, and you can always get new people on board. But if mm-hmm. you screw up with some, or you know, one or two of your big JV partners that you annoy them in some way that they get angry with you, then not only have you lost a relationship with them, the chances are you've probably lost a relationship with two or three of their sort of close marketing buddies as well. And that will hurt big time because,
big pain in the butt. You build that.
Your business, the ability to make sales through big marketers has just suddenly gone away. And in order, depending on how you screwed up, your reputation may be lost, all sorts of things. And it's going to be quite a long, hard road to get yourself back up to the same level again and probably get some different big JV partners on board. So, yes, I know people listening to this call will be subscribers on your list, on my list. We love you to bits, but... please understand that if you're looking to get the position that where Johnny and I are, that you've got to look at the bigger picture, and you've got to look at your assets and your relationships with your JV partners are definitely a massive asset.
Indeed. Yeah, and this is a little weird, and being that I was in the music industry for a long, long time, this I always kind of equate what I do now to like recording another album or something like that. And I look at a lot of my subscribers like old school Metallica fans. I seriously do, because I get these emails every now and then, and I'm like, how is this any different than that dude that comes out, man, Lars, you were different back then, man. Ride the lightning rocks. It's like your new stuff sucks. And they get all mad about the process rather than looking at it. It's weird. It's like a lot of the folks are almost in it for in like the entertainment value of it. And they get angry and they say things like, oh, you're just like all those other gurus. It's like, I don't like your new album. You changed, It's like, you're just like everybody else, man. You just promote the same stuff.
I mean, that leads on to another dilemma, which I'm sure you have exactly the same question as me. And don't worry, I'm not going to put you on the spot this time.
I love it.
I'm going to answer it myself first, unless you're feeling brave.
But no, I don't know. Now you got me worried. What are you going to ask?
Well, I mean, as you develop, as you go from – completely unknown to working your way up the sort of internet marketing ladder. And for each product launch that you do, you get more and more JV partners on board and more people helping you, and you become more and more successful and things that, couldn't be better. Except what starts happening is that some of the marketers that you get on board as your JV partners, not all of them, but, some of them will start saying to you, hey, dude, I made so many sales for you on your last launch 3 months ago. Got mine coming out next week. Can you promote for me? And then you get another one saying, hey, dude, got mine coming out in 2 weeks' time. Can you promote for me? And then what happens is that your schedule starts getting completely and utterly chock-a-block, that you're thinking, hey, I cannot say yes to everybody, but you mm-hmm. feel, well, they helped me out, so I kind of feel, that I want to thank them in return and help them out, But there's two things that can happen, that they're either maybe giving you too short a notice that you can't plan it in, or, what sometimes happens is that they'll come up with a date that's exactly the same date as something you've already committed to for one of your existing JV partners. So there's no way you mm-hmm. can help them out as well, because, you do not want to send out two promotions to your list on the same day.
That gets a little ugly.
Yeah. Well, you could if you wanted to, but you'd start losing your subscribers, and you think, you know, and then you, you know, you'd be back at unknown again because you'd be making no sales. So, it's a problem that I've been facing recently, and thinking how best do I deal with it, and you know, I think that as you move up the internet marketing ladder, that I think, you know, that it's the difference maybe between affiliates and JV partners, that you'll get some people that will just mail for you, or, you know, maybe they'll bring affiliate sales, not through you know, by selling to their list, but also just by getting some organic traffic from all the, you know, various Web 2.0 sites, etc. And they maybe are just an affiliate rather than a JV partner that's going to be bringing out their own product in a few months' time and would expect you on board as well. But it's, you know, of course, you know, take this to the extreme. You come up to the, like, the John Reese and the Frank Kern, etc. And they, of course, there's no way in this world that they're going to turn around and promote everybody that helps them out. But so I think as you move up, you can get yourself into a level where that you don't have to help everybody else out in return, because, you know, I think that you've just reached that level where, you know, people are happy to make sales for you. And they realise that, you know, you've got something of good quality that their lists are going to be happy with. They'd absolutely love you to promote back in return, but they know because you've now reached a certain sort of level that, you know, that's probably not going to happen. So, you know, it's an interesting one. I don't know if you've got anything extra that you'd like to add to that.
Well, I'm kind of an out-of-the-box thinker when it comes to these sort of weird scenarios. There's two things in there that can potentially happen. The first is, you know, the what they always say, like, you know, the cream rises to the top kind of thing. If you're – especially in this arena, if you're a good marketer, you're probably going to make a lot of money, a.k.a. get a big list and meet other people. I mean, that's what we do. You know, it's not like we're sitting here trying to invent the next best carrot slicer. You know, we're selling people marketing material. You know, so it's like if you are made for that league, or if you're it's a matter of training. You know, it's people they will get to the point where and it's really a big good old boys network is what we're talking about. You know, from the beginning and the end of this thing, and there's various levels of that network. And you're going to move through the levels to the point where, you know, if you continue to get better and hone your craft and, you know, refine your sales process and do better and better and bigger things, then you get to sit at that big table with the big people. And you can then make your own decisions, like you were saying, like, who do I promote? But at the same time, you have to realize you get to that point by promoting things and working with people who are better than you. And so, you know, you're always moving through and moving forward by taking that attitude and doing those sort of things. And that's not to say that somebody up and coming, you can't help. But at the same time, there's the quality issue. You know, if this person who's up and coming, and this is a huge problem a lot of times, and I actually kind of, you know, agonize over it every now and then, is, you know, there will be someone who really helped me out a lot, and they'll ask to, you know, can I promote the product? And I'll look at it, and it's essentially like, you know, someone took a baby diaper and flung it on the wall. And I'm like, dude, no, I can't do this. But what I do with these kinds of scenarios is I say, okay, I'm all about helping you, but here's what we've got to do. Number one, your process sucks. Number two, your product sucks, but here's how we can fix it.
Yep.
And what I'll and sometimes what I'll do is if I have a lot of respect for them and if they were really cool, I'll even like step in a little bit and offer to, you know, add. And I've done this with a number of, like, you know, people who you know, fairly large people that you know have big lists and all that kind of stuff. It's like, whoa, I can't promote this yet, but let's make it so that it's workable. And it's been, that approach has worked out really well. and it's made a lot of friends. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, let's see how I can help you to then help me help you. It's weird, but it works. It does, and everybody has a fuzzy bunny feeling afterwards.
Yeah, I think it's just something that you learn to do. But by actually doing it, that unless you actually experience what we've just been talking about, you're probably thinking, "What are these two on about?" You know that. But when it, you know, when it starts happening to you, because it will, you know, as you start climbing that ladder, you will be faced with these problems. It's just a question of, you know, probably like you said, being creative and. You're able to, you know, find a way that keeps all parties happy.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, then you can't please everybody all the time. But what winds up happening is you kind of have what I've noticed is there's something like that. I call it like the tenacity factor. I'm sure I'll come up with something more guru sounding than that at some point. But it's where you don't necessarily want to be a pain in the ass, but you definitely want to be persistent.
Yep.
You know, it's you know, you want to be able to offer information and value and all these other cool things to people to do that. And then what happens is people come behind you and do the same thing to you. And what I've noticed is that because I know you can probably relate to this one, you get so busy and there's so much information going on at once, stuff can fall by the wayside. It's those people who stay on top of you that are going to be the ones that get the, you know, that get the sort of golden nuggets kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the folks that don't, maybe they're not playing at the same level, you know? So it's like, you almost have to kind of pay your dues. And once again, we're back to the whole rock band thing. It's like, you get up there, it's like, you know, people, you sold out, man. It's like, no, man, I just work my music to the point where a lot of people like it. You know, that's all it is. It's like, you know, my last album sold 1 million copies because, well, it's good freaking music. So, that's, you know, it's cool. And then, you know, what do you call that? The Dr. Dre business model. You just start bringing people up, and the people that you bring up are those who stay in front of you and who stay with you and help you, and everybody helps each other.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Good stuff.
Indeed. So, yeah, I think that that should probably shed some light on you and, you know, the infamous Chris Frevel and his evil ClickBank Inner Circle of Doom.com. I should buy that domain name. That would be cool. The evil ClickBank Circle of Doom.com/org.
You know what?
You're on name. You're on
social. Well, you'd get a certain following, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's about it. So, anything that you'd want to add to this sort of stuff, like little kernels of wisdom and nuggets of truth?
I'd say, yeah, I mean, you probably hear a lot of calls where people that when they're asked this question about anything else you'd like to finish off with, and what I'm about to say is what a lot of people say, but you know, I don't care that a lot of people say this because it's been so true for me, and what it is really just sticking at it, because I've been through 4 product launches in the last 13 months. They can be very stressful, but and you almost get to a point where, you know, it gets to you and you really feel like just giving up, just jacking in, you know, this is not working. You know, I am sod it. I'm going to go and do something back in the corporate world or whatever. And just a bit of persistence, a bit of, you know, realizing that it doesn't have instant success overnight. You don't get all the big players marketing for you just because you've sent them an email. It takes a little bit of work, but, you know, stick at it. And I'm living proof that it does work. So, you know, I hope people can follow my story and, you know, read all about it. ClickBank Inner Circle. That's, you know, it's a real life case study that people can follow my model and do exactly the same themselves.
Yeah, it's true. That's what I like about this kind of stuff. It, you know, that's a big difference actually with the, you know, when you know, I was kind of talking about a good old boy network, and that has like bad connotations, but in this sense, it's like people get to where they are because they do good stuff. because their stuff works, because people are actually able, you know, to make money using it. And it's not like it's a bunch of BS, you know, and what I like about yours is that it's based off of reality and personal experience, you know, and I always try to do the same thing with my products as well. But, you know, this is really good stuff because it answers the big questions, but it answers them in a way that is, you know, I did this. That's what, you know, that's what this thing says. It's not just here's a bunch of smoke. We can blow up one of your orifices. You know, it's like I actually did this.
There's no way in this world that I could have gone to, you know, we're talking right at the beginning about outsourcing. There's no way that I could have gone to a freelancer and say, hey, put together this product for me based on this imaginary success that I've, you know, I'm going to pretend that I've had. You know, it's just impossible. So, you know, because of actually, you know, giving the real case study of what I've been through over the last sort of year, that, you know, I think, you know, that will have more appeal to people than some manufactured crap that, you know, you see going around, you know, on ClickBank day in, day out. Not that it's all like that, you know. There is some good stuff on ClickBank, but you know, some of it is not, and I'm sure people will appreciate where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that tends to, you know, kind of like pop up one day and disappear the next because, you know, it's got like a 90% refund thing, and you know, that's what's cool about a lot of the people who are good at what they do is they talk about being good at what they do, and you know, as long as you take action on it, it usually works. You know, it's just it's a matter of, you know, I think the big general overarching message, and I mean, I'm right there with you in terms of like being my own success story, is that, you know, you just have to keep at it and you have to leverage. Not everything's going to be a big win. There will be there's going to be moments where you contact these people, even if you have a list, and they're still going to be like, I don't know you and I don't care. That happens. And, you know, 6 weeks down the road, who's to say you're – and this happened to me personally. You know, the Uber guru dude basically kind of gave me the finger, but then a couple weeks later his affiliate manager contacted me to hook out to work out a monthly reciprocal mailing, which is massive. I mean, that's freakish right there, because it's, you know, huge lists and all this kind of stuff. And because my product had shown up in the ClickBank top 10, they didn't know it was me when I was knocking on their door the first time.
There it goes. That's
it was like, it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. I'm like, wait a minute, what was different 6 weeks ago? It's like, oh, we didn't know that was you. Oh, you're that Johnny Andrews? I'm like, yeah, who else spells their first name that way?
Yeah, and you know what, Johnny? That's exactly what I was talking about earlier on the call, about the connection being with you as a person rather than your product. That, you know, people got to get this. They've got to understand this, that that when you're trying to build these relationships with people, it's building the relationship as person to person, because that's, you know, that when they realize that it's you behind this product, then they want to know you. But, you know, if it was somebody else behind the product, then, you know, maybe we don't care. So
exactly.
Anyway, great to speak to you. Really good.
Indeed, it was a good time, and I think that was some pretty seriously uber spectacular info. And I will spread it like butter across the toast of the internet to the far reaches so that everyone may consume it.
Great.
I know you love my food analogies. We'll just run with that. All right. Well, you have fun with your launch, and we'll be chatting again soon.
Cheers, buddy. Okay.
All right. Take care, man. Bye.